Of course, it's the musical stylings of Tina Turner this afternoon, and she says, "What's love got to do with it?" Bye bye, dankie dat julle ingeskakel is op Wysheid en Onbeperk. Today we are delighted once again to welcome Quad Power Association of South Africa. Joining us is Rustem, a proud Kwaza member and a disability expert extraordinaire who brings a wealth of knowledge and lived experiences to the conversation. This afternoon we'll be unpacking the important workplace issue, employment equity, understanding reasonable accommodation, and what it really means for both the employers and persons with disabilities. Good afternoon, Rustem, and how are you?
Good afternoon, Richard. I'm very well, and thank you for the opportunity for Kwasa to present on your radio station.
Beautiful. Rustem, you're recognized as one of South Africa's leading disability and inclusion experts. Can you briefly tell listeners about your background and the work you do in this space?
Yeah. So, I am a person with a disability. I was diagnosed at a very young age of having cerebral palsy, specifically spastic diplegia. That essentially means that the lower limbs are affected. I am not exactly a paraplegic or quadriplegic, or technically I can walk a few steps unaided. So, I went to an Elson school, then it's a special education needs school. I went to completed high school in mainstream high school. I went to university. I have an NQF8 postgraduate diploma in disability studies. I've worked within the protective workshop environment. These are institutions that are essentially funded by government and by general donors to be able to give persons with disabilities an opportunity to develop their vocational skills. And then I got very involved in skills development. I sat on the council of a CETA. I sat on the council of a business chamber. And I'm at the moment a director for a skills development public benefit organization, being the ASDSA. So I'm always been very, very involved in skills development and the promotion of skills development.
Okay. For listeners who may not be familiar with employment law, what is the Employment Equity Act and how does it protect and promote the rights of persons with disabilities in the workplace, particularly when it comes to reasonable accommodation?
So one is going to understand that the rights of people are protected and enshrined within the Constitution of South Africa. And the Employment Equity Act was there to redress the inequality that existed within our society. So that is why the Employment Equity Act came about. So with regard to disability, persons with disabilities has always been marginalized. And the Employment Equity Act was there in order to redress that marginalization. And in, so firstly, it defines disability very specifically. It's got two documents attached to the Employment Equity Act around specifically reasonable accommodation and also the technical assistance guide. And these two documents basically guide employers mainly, but also employees in order to understand their rights. Now, when it comes to reasonable accommodation, what a lot of people don't understand is that reasonable accommodation applies to everybody. It doesn't just apply to persons with disabilities or even more so persons that are in wheelchairs. So in a job situation, in South African law, when you put out a job, then essentially the person that applies for that job has got the rights of an employee. So the candidate needs to be able to show they have inherent requirements of the job. If they then need to be reasonably accommodated in order to do the job that they have the inherent requirements of, that's where reasonable accommodation takes place. Now, let me give you a non-disabled example. So let's say that there's a lady that is wanting to employ, and she's got a very young baby, and she's maybe going to be half an hour late due to the fact that you're going to drop the baby off close to a creche in the area, whatever the case may be. Then essentially the employer will say, no, that's fine. you know, can you maybe cut down your hour break to half an hour and then work the time in? That is reasonable accommodation. People think that reasonable accommodation has got to do with wheelchairs and ramps. Yes, it absolutely does, but it goes beyond that. So what is the gap between the inherent requirements of the job and the job itself? And then that needs to be reasonably accommodated.
I think you answered my question three also now, but let's just ask it. When the Act refers to reasonable accommodation, what does that actually mean in practice?
Okay, so before you can reasonably accommodate, there has to be disclosure. So let me use myself as an example. I'm a person in a wheelchair. I need to disclose that I am a person in a wheelchair. Now, it's very difficult for me to hide the fact that I'm in a wheelchair. Because when I go for an interview, they're going to see that I'm in a wheelchair. But that's not always the case when it comes to the unseen disabilities. So within the unseen disabilities, the employer needs to take into account that the person may need to be accommodated. For example, there's a person with a visual impairment coming in. There's a person with a hearing impairment coming in. They've got to assess whether that person is going to need a reasonable accommodation to have a sign language interpreter, or, you know, maybe they need the notes in Braille or something like that. So that is reasonable accommodation at that level already. But once again, if I'm a person in a wheelchair, I can't use the toilets, so I need to have a toilet that will accommodate a person with disability. I may have a visual impairment, so you can't have obstructions within the pathways within my working space. So these are all things that it depends on what the needs of the person is. Mm. But it starts with disclosure. If you do not indicate that this is what you need, then the employer won't know. But I just want to say something in terms of there's an opposite, because, you know, everything in life has got opposites, the plus and the minus. So the reasonable accommodation means that the employer has to consider accommodating you reasonably. But it could be a situation where it's unjustifiable hardship. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. In South African building regulations, I think you can go up to 3 floors in a building and not put in a lift, right? So now you put out an ad and you say that, you're wanting to fill this position and you have people with disabilities applying. So a person that's maybe blind or deaf, no problem, they can traverse the stairs. I can't expect that employer to put in a lift because that's unjustifiable. Mm. You know, it costs too expensive. So therefore, they can discriminate against my application and say, unfortunately, we will apply unjustifiable hardship. But that more happens with smaller employers. If you're working for the state, for example, they can't do that because they're a massive employer. Even if you're looking at, big insurance companies or the big banks, it's very unlikely that they can say unjustifiable hardship. Mm. But for the small, medium-sized company, that may happen. So I just have to make the audience aware that there is an opposite to reasonable accommodation, being unjustifiable hardship.
Okay. So many people think reasonable accommodation only applies to wheelchair access. Who exactly does reasonable accommodation apply to under the law?
Okay. So you've got to take, firstly, as I said, it depends on the inherent requirements of the job. If a candidate meets the inherent requirements of the job, then the next question would be, is there reasonable accommodation required? Now, of course, it needs to be disclosure. So at that point, the employer is obligated to listen to the reasonable accommodation and once again, see whether it is something that they can apply. Right? Let me give you a few examples. Let's say the canteen is not accessible, right? So a person that is maybe not even in a wheelchair, it could be somebody that's on crutches. They need somebody to be able to get their coffee, tea, or if there's food in the canteen, maybe to get that for them, that would be considered a reasonable accommodation. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that at the workplace, the workspace, they need adjustments. They may need special software if they're visually impaired. They may need certain ergonomics to be in place. The desk needs to be a certain height or adjustable. They need to have a comfortable chair. You know, those are the type of things. So that is required. That's absolute.
Okay.
Right? And as long as that accommodation is considered reasonable, it should be put in place. And that is really specifically outlined within the Employment Equity Act and the attached documents that supports the employment of a person with disability attached to the Employment Equity Act.
Okay, let me ask the question. Is reasonable accommodation something employers may choose to provide, or is it a legal obligation?
It is, in South African law, it's an absolute legal obligation. As I indicated earlier, once you apply, once you put out a job, then everybody that applies for that job has got the rights of an employee. So it's an absolute must that they have to go through their due diligence, their recruitment process. If all candidates meet their tick boxes that they meet the inherent requirements of the job, then you start considering the reasonable accommodation, which is entrenched within our employment equity law. So absolute legal obligation.
I know you have given us a few examples or practical examples of what reasonable accommodation might look like in the ordinary South African workplace. Can you just give us one more?
Okay. Let's look at, for example, a silly little thing like turnstiles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of businesses have got turnstiles, and they don't cater for necessarily for the wheelchair, where they have to open a gate to let a wheelchair through. Now, sometimes they do have that gate there, but when the person with the wheelchair comes there, nobody's operating the gate. Right? Now, that's a very silly example of not granting access to a person in a wheelchair.
Mm.
Okay, so that's just something that you need to take into account.
Okay. Many employees with disabilities are afraid to disclose their condition. What does the law say about disclosure, and what advice would you give to employees navigating this fear?
Okay, so that's very real, right? Because if you have managed your disability through life, you're going to find yourself in a very awkward stigma situation. How are people going to view me if I tell them that I've got a disability? Now, there are a lot of advantages to being disabled in South Africa. Because at the moment, we're at 1.2% of the working population of persons with disabilities, and we're supposed to be at 3%, and that 3% is going to increase by 1% every year until 2030. So there is a grave shortage of persons with disabilities entering into the workplace. That means that a person with disability has an absolute advantage of being able to say, but I am disabled, because the employees are looking for you and they are wanting you. But there are other advantages that a lot of people don't understand, and especially persons with disabilities. You get SARS benefits. If you have a disability and and it's registered with SARS, you can essentially, if you earn 50,000 Rand a month, as an example, let's say 15,000 Rand of the 50,000 Rand needs to go towards your tax. Mm-hmm. That 15,000 Rand can be greatly reduced, or you can get tax credit back because you are a person with a disability. And you can't get that advantage unless you are working and needing to pay tax, as you earn, right? So why would you want to disadvantage yourself?
Mm.
Another situation that you have as well, medical aid. What a lot of people don't understand is that medical aid, especially the comprehensive plans, they may say medical aid is very expensive. So let me give you an example. Let's say a medical aid comprehensive plan costs you 5,000 Rand. 5,000 Rand is a lot of money out of a salary, irrespective of what you earn. But if you can get 50,000 Rand, or let me not be that ridiculous, I've actually gotten that much, but let's say you're going to get 10,000 Rand back in terms of it's going to cover your physio, it's going to cover your optometrist appointments, it's going to cover your special software that you need, or your hearing aid. It's going to cover all that stuff. Why not have medical aid? And for employees especially if you've got a medical aid scheme, encourage your employees with disabilities to take out these comprehensive plans, because what it does is it reduces the burden on your employee wellness programs. So that is why, for me, absolutely, you've got to, if you're a person with disability, you are disadvantaging yourself in a big way if you do not declare. And then, of course, there are a couple of other small little benefits that I just want to mention. Besides allowing or helping the company meet their employment equity goals, which we just discussed, there are strong triple B double E incentives as well, really strong. There are 4 direct points with regard to disability, that's skills development and management, but there's about 17 points in total across the 7 elements of the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Scorecard where it talks about disability. And that's like 17 points out of 100. Mm-hmm. That's a big percentage. So there also is a very big advantage. And also, when you look at skills development grants, many CETAs has specific grants for persons with disabilities that either makes the stipend higher, that gets paid to the person with a disability. For example, services CETA at an NQ5 level, they will pay a stipend of 5,000 rand, but they'll top it up by 1,000 rand if the person has a disability. For the employer, the CETA will pay 6,000 rand as an additional grant, and we're talking about like on 100,000 rand spend. And SARS will also give you a higher tax allowance if the person has a disability. I'm just mentioning a couple of things. You know, besides generally, you know, you get a social pension. If you get a social pension, for example, you can get discounts. You can go to game, I think, every Wednesday. You know, you can get a 10% discount if you are a person with disability and you have a social pension.
Okay.
So there are many, many reasons as to why you should say you're disabled.
Okay. Beyond meeting legal requirements, how does reasonable accommodation contribute to a healthier, more productive workplace culture?
I think South Africa, we don't realize how diverse we are, and don't realize we've actually forgotten what the Rainbow Nation is all about and the resilience that we have as a society. So I do think that having this level of diversity in the workplace is just very good for a good workplace type of environment. But there are also any person, any group of people. We all have our strengths and we've got our weaknesses. And that's essentially what a person with disability is. They're good at certain things and they're not so good at other things. So it's woven in to the fabric of our society. And I must just make a comment that maybe describes this best in terms of disability. If you go to Cape Town, Johannesburg, all the metropoles, Cape Town, Johannesburg, and Durban, essentially, you will find it very difficult to recruit a person with disability because they are already absorbed, specifically into learnerships, but also to a certain extent into employment as well. And that just shows that society, business as well, has bought into the advantages of persons with disabilities. The challenge, I think, and especially where with persons with disabilities listening to this radio broadcast, is that we as persons with disability just need to realize it. And that, for me, makes up the crux of having a healthier and more productive workplace. We are needed in order to add to the diversity of the workplace culture.
If you could leave employees with one key message about reasonable accommodation, what would it be?
Increase your bottom line. You know, business is all about how do I make more money? But you get 2 ways of doing it. You can go the purely capitalistic way, or you can go do it as a social enterprise. In my instance, and what I will advise, you will make more money by being a social enterprise than being a capitalist. Because at the end of the day, we need people in order to buy into our businesses. And by people buying into our businesses, we create jobs. By creating more jobs, we build a stronger society. So look at the bottom line. Okay, look at the meeting physical legislative requirements. Nobody wants to pay money to meet legislative requirements, but that's important. And then I have outlined within this talk the advantages that you have as an employer in terms of VEEE, the incentives that you have, the CETAs and the disability grants that you have, and also for persons with disabilities. The world is your oyster. I really do believe that South Africa is a land of milk and honey. Very difficult to see it, you know, in our current climate, but it is. When you look at what the other parts of the world is going through, even our expats are coming back to South Africa because of the lived experience that we have here in South Africa. You know, we have sunshine and we have sunny skies and whatever else the case may be. And we've got the Springboks, you know, who can write off the Springboks. So this is what I believe we need to buy. We need to buy into the diversity. And we need to see that actually by being that social enterprise, we make a lot of money. So you make money, and I don't want to put it like this, and maybe a bad way to end this conversation, but you're going to make money out of the disabled. But you're making money. Good money out of it.
Beautiful. Okay. Rustam, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to us today. Is there a message you'd like to leave people with today? And is there only also a shout out that you'd like to give? I'm going to give you the opportunity now.
Yeah. First of all, the shout out must go to your radio station, right? I think it's important that we get buy-in from all levels of society. And a couple of years ago, this type of conversation would not have been an open conversation. You know, I am an established person with a disability in my field. We were far, very few and far between. So definitely a shout out to your radio station. Also, from what I understand, from one of the largest province in the country, but also maybe one of the marginalized provinces in the country. So it's amazing that your listener base is actually entertaining this type of conversation and take advantage of the benefits that I'm mentioning to you. One, if you're a business, look into this. When you see that person with a disability, that's money walking there. Right? You can't let the money walk past you. And a person with a disability, realize how important you are. Okay? That employer, that business needs me. Right? So therefore, I'm going to put my best foot forward. But at the end of the day, we're people. It's all about society. And how do we contribute towards our development, growth, and prosperity?
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so very much for taking time to speak to us today. You should have a blessed and beautiful day.
Thank you very much,
Richard.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. So gesels Rustam natuurlik. Hy werk en is werksaam natuurlik by KwaZa, the Quad Para Association of South Africa, is waar hy natuurlik werksaam is. En ons wil vir hom bye-bye dankie sê dat hy tyd afgeknyp het om vanmiddag saam met ons te gesels en om seker te maak dat hy ons inlig vir al ons besighede. Employers, ek hoop julle het na hierdie conversation geluister, so dat julle ook op die regte pad is, wanneer dit natuurlik kom by die persone aanstel met gestremdhede in jou besigheid. En dis 'n lekker gesprek gewees, so ons sê weer eens baie, baie dankie aan meneer Rustam Afridin, a proud KwaZa member, and a disability expert extraordinaire who brings wealth and knowledge and lived experiences to today's conversation. So thank you so very much. Ons beweeg aan en ons gesels. Radio NFM is hard besig, of wysheid en onbeperk is hard besig om te beplan aan ons senior burger pageant, waar ons natuurlik ons senior burgers gaan vra om deel te neem. Ons gaan 'n meneer senior het en 'n mevrou of 'n mejuffrou senior ook, want onthou baie van ons ou mense het ook besluit, ek gaan nie trou nie, ek gaan my lewe geniet soos single, soos ek natuurlik is ons skeiter vir almal hier. Die details gaan soos ons natuurlik casual day ook bemark vir julle deurgee, so naby casual day, denk ek wil ons hierdie pageant uitrol, so julle kan net julle ore gefokus hou op die klankgolwe van NFM, die betroubare stem van die Namakwa mense. Terug by ons Losle Dag, een project van die NCPD, National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities. Daar is soveel merchandise wat jy kan koop, wat jy kan bestel. Ek wil ook net sê, die t-shirts begin by die kleinste is 5X small en die grootste is 6XL. So dis verskriklik baie groot. So ons het het Varieties, the Spice of Life Sailor.